Blog Talk Radio.
This is Sports Inside and Out. Legends of Sports, the voice of Legends of Sports. When legends speak, people listen. Now, here's your host, the coach, Chuck Hatcher. Inside and Out, Legends of Sports, our Saturday morning update, of course, and keeping you abreast of all the activities of the Legends. We're the voice of the Legends of Sports, and I'm your host, Coach Chuck Hatcher. We're going to be joined by our Hall of Famers and co-host, Wally Jones, and an upcoming contributor to Bobby Hunter. Harlem Globetrotter Legends should be up as well. And it's NCAA weekend. March Madness is at a conclusion, the Final Four. Hey, this is the third time we've missed the Final Four. Normally we were there most of the time. We've always had our show at the Final Four Friday at the practices, and we've missed about three of those things. Now we really need to get back in the groove with that. Well, hopefully we will be very shortly, but we got some good information and update coming with the Final Four NCAA weekend. And, of course, Wally, our co-host, has been doing some R&D. That's right, giving you the news that you can use with the NCAA basketball. That's right. Wanda, what's up, babe?
Yeah. I tell you what, first off, ladies before gentlemen.
Yeah, there you go.
Let me talk about it because it's very interesting, but it's also something that's happening out throughout soccer and other areas of other sports of equality. In women's men Final Four, it's the men who beat the odds, Coach. Cinderella grew a beard. Let me talk to you about it. Syracuse was shocked number one seed, South Carolina, coached by Dawn Staley in the Sweet 16, and went on to beat Tennessee, coached by Holly Warlick.
Right.
After Stanford upset number one seed Notre Dame, coached by, and these names are well-known in women's sports, Muffet McGraw,
right. Mm-hmm.
Washington upset Stanford coach Tara Vanderveer in the Elite
right.
Eight. Now,
yeah.
Oregon State stunned number one seed Baylor, coached by Kim Mulkey, in the Elite Eight. These are some of the great women coaches of college basketball.
Right.
But listen to this. Welcome. Scott Ruick of Oregon State is a male. Quentin
right.
Hillsman of Syracuse
right.
and Mike Neighbors of Washington is also a male. Well, you add up Gino Ariamo. There are four male coaches for the first time in the history of the Final Four.
For NCAA women's basketball. Yeah.
That's right. You got male.
You got
check
male.
This out. Yeah.
I like that. Check
this out. The Final Four, Coach Hatcher, of course, UConn 36-0 versus Oregon State 32-4.
Right.
At 6 p.m. on Sunday. Then here's what's happening. Washington, and I saw them play a couple times, 26-10 versus Syracuse. This is also one of the, I think it's maybe six times that a school has both women and men. Syracuse have the men and women.
Right.
But in national note, we know what happened with the five U.S. soccer national team players to file a lawsuit.
Right.
Now watch this. Scandal-infested North Carolina proved it could skirt the system and play for a sixth national title. But also, look who else was in there, Syracuse. And we
right.
all know what the Orange problems were when they suspended Boeheim. So these
mm-hmm.
are two teams from the ACC who are skirting some issues regarding some unfortunate happenings on campus.
Right.
So I wanted to bring that up. I wanted to bring that up because what's happening in our society, when we look at this, they're having some issues regarding, and this is an article in Newsweek, I read that also, where 37 of 313 Division I ADs are women. So they're
right.
talking the availability of women, not only as ADs, but also the fact that in Title IX, of course, the opportunity for the women to participate is so important. The monies have gone up millions and millions of dollars.
Right.
But, Coach, here's what they're looking at. Why don't they have women in men's coaching? And they brought up a point about single-parent families, women raising men. So I just wanted to bring that issue up. But it's going to be a fantastic Final Four for the women in Indianapolis. And I'm excited about seeing those young ladies play because they have some talent.
It's going to be interesting now because the traction now, the hook, men in the women's Final Four, that's the hook right there. That's the media hook. Because you got to have a bite for the sizzle. And when you don't have, you know, when you don't have that extra sizzle, you don't get quite the attention that you would normally would get to. The thing that, and hopefully, you know, we'll get to it, Bobby, when Bobby comes up, we'll have something on that because, see, we cannot get it twisted, listeners around the world, even our SoundCloud listeners. We're dealing with America here. We're dealing with bravado here, you know, and you strive to make the corrections as they go along, just as the African Americans or the black athletes have been doing and are still going through it.
Not with the athleticism
or the teams, but with the coaches and the athletic directors as such. So, you know, these are problems that are entrenched in sports society and society at large, listeners. It's what we want to address or help you to absorb a little better because you're talking about a bravado thing of sports. And, you know, you still have a climb for women to be able to be equitably paired in many aspects. In many aspects, a lot of aspects they are, such as intelligence and IQ for the game and all that kind of stuff. But it is still the bravado situations as you see in professional sports as well as college sports. So, you know, the argument that if you want a woman AD, the first thing the argument comes up with Wally and our listeners, look at all the guys out there that's done so much to who are quite capable of ID. It's a tit for tat in that situation, Wally. But again, you know, there are women in certain situations in certain that deservingly should be, particularly if you are in a Division I school where your women's program is just as powerful as your men's program, then you got parity.
Yeah, hey, good. Well put. Now, well, you can make a big deal of it, but over much of repeated fact, 40 years ago, Chuck, 90% of the coaches in women's sports were women.
Right.
40 years ago, they were part-time coaches and teachers. They didn't get paid anything. There was no expectation to win championships, fill arenas, make money. But let's think of it. As long as they're putting money into and the programs are really providing money, it doesn't matter what your coach is, male, white, black, whatever religion, whatever. But one of the things that is, this is coming up with the soccer about equal pay, how they treat the women. But it's interesting now, especially with these women that are providing a lot of revenue to these colleges, and I agree with you, those opportunities to come forth. And I think the NBA is trying to do it. They're trying to have an equal opportunity to bring more women into their executive offices. We know in most areas that most women are not in those positions. But I wanted to bring it up because it was such a tremendous article about that in Newsweek. And I think it's important for our listeners to understand we do look at both sides, and we don't want to overlook our female, because those female coaches who they have a lot of maturity and guidance when you talk about women coaching men. And I think you see Popovich allowing the young lady to coach for the San Antonio Spurs. I think that's very important, the opportunity opened up. So I wanted to bring that up before we get into the men's Final Four. And we know what's happening there. Offenses take the center stage, Coach. I mean, when you look at the offenses that are happening, of course, Buddy Hield, I'm going to talk about him because he's averaging 29 points in the first four games. Mm-hmm. 29 points is shooting 47.5%.
Yeah.
And, of course, Villanova is going to have a task with him. But one of the things about Villanova, they have five men that are averaging double figures, and they're well-balanced.
Right.
Jalen Brunson, Ryan Arcacona, Josh Hart, Chris Jenkins, and Daniel Oshofu. So they're going to have a time with Oklahoma, who starts Isaiah Cousins, 13 points, Jordan Woodard, 12, Buddy Hield, 25, Kadeem Latin, and you know very well who Kadeem Latin is. That's the grandson of
Big Daddy Latin. That's We got to get Bob. Wait a minute. Hold on. I think I see Bobby popping up here. Bob.
Hey, guys. How you doing?
Yeah. Big Latin
We're going to have Big Daddy Latin on next Tuesday. I missed out on our call to Dave Latin. He's ready to go.
Yeah.
Oh, good. Next Tuesday. Yeah. That'd be great. You know, historically speaking, fellas, 50 years since Texas Western beat Kentucky, which changed the face of
anniversary.
College basketball. 50th anniversary.
Anniversary.
I just wanted to mention that.
Yeah. They showed the game. They showed the game twice on TV.
Yeah.
Good. Yeah, they needed
you need to watch.
And we were fortunate enough to have Bob Beamon, who went to Texas El Paso, formerly Texas Western, was talking about the same thing as they had some type of reunion down there for the 50th anniversary for Texas.
They did.
Yeah, and Bob said he was down there. Wally, you remember that? And I think he said he was invited down there and saw all the guys, Ladin and everybody. He went over the entire team, the guys that were still living.
Yeah, Willie
He said he was invited.
Neville Shedd. Yeah, that's a great day player.
Neville Shedd.
Yeah.
All those guys were there.
I'm going to get back to the second game, North Carolina, Syracuse. 32
that's
and 6.
That's going to be it.
North Carolina. That's going to be it. 23-13 in Syracuse. And again, their lineup, again, Joel Berry is 12 points, Marcus Page, 12, Justin Jackson, 12, Bryce Johnson, 17, and Kennedy needs 9. Now, Bryce Johnson is averaging 21 points and shooting 63%, fellas. So they're going to have a tough time with those big guys underneath. But Syracuse comes up with Michael Jenerb, 17 points, Trevor Cooney, 12, Malachi Richardson, 13, who really beat he beat Virginia by itself. He had 21 points the second half.
He really
Tyler
did.
Tyler Robinson, Wilkerson, 10 points, and Jajon Coleman, 4. So it's going to be a style of the play again, that zone. We know what's going to happen with that zone. They're going to have to see if they could take care of North Carolina with that zone offense. But, fellas, your comments on what do you think about the Oklahoma-Villanova game?
I think that you know, I'm very much excited about the possibility of Villanova and Oklahoma because see, Villanova is playing very much loose. They're you got a team plays like that. They weren't expected to be there. They're surprised to be there. They got the confidence, and one thing they do, they have a tremendous baseline-to-baseline defense. And they thrive on this type of stuff. And, you know, as far as locking down a particular score, then I think I got to give Wright, if he should have been, no question, to me, Coach of the Year for what he's done with that undersized program that he has right now at this particular time, being number one and only have one big and being and having the success he's had and being playing some of the top 25 schools and you know he didn't shun away from any schedule. To me, that man has a good rapport with those seniors and those upperclassmen who have a tremendous basketball IQ. Athletic-wise now, you're looking on the flip side of the pancake with Oklahoma now. They can get out in front of you and do some tricky things on you. You know, they could put a Golden State type of thing on you. But I'm looking at Villanova of how that defense plays hot.
One of the things, because very important to know that they played them in December and they lost by 23. They played them in Hawaii December 7th, but they held Hill to 18. But what Jay Wright keeps talking about is those fellas like Jordan Woodard and also Isaiah Cousins. So that's going to be the point. They are familiar. As a matter of fact, all these teams are familiar with each other because they played each other. Of course, North Carolina beating Syracuse twice already in the ACC. But I like your point of view about locking down, because if they can put that pressure on those outside scores, I think Villanova can win the game. They put that defense on them.
Yeah. You know, and they're on a roll, guys. You know, I think, Bob, you can tell us that. It's hard, you know, when you get on a roll like they have. Villanova has been on a tremendous roll since the beginning. Yeah. I mean, they came in with a – and that's a tricky team. Now, Oklahoma had a little stumble in there and then got in. And then, of course, Carolina is so dangerous because, if I remember correctly, they're on a 13-game winning streak. So
– yeah, no. Yeah, they're scoring a lot. Let me tell you.
And
that.
They're scoring a lot. Yeah. Bobby?
83, 85, 101, and 88. Yes, Bobby.
Yeah, I like Cousins an awful lot for Oklahoma, but I'm going to give a very educated answer here, and I want everyone to understand it. So far, I've been wrong in everything. So I'm going to pick Syracuse and Oklahoma. The other team will win.
I got North Carolina and a surprising Villanova. I guess what I'm saying. I got North Carolina.
Well, Coach, if you understand, that's who I just picked.
Okay. Oh, yeah, I got you. Go the opposite.
Right.
Bobby,
yeah.
Bobby, you're so crazy. But that's why we love him. He's a riddler. He got a riddle for you.
He's a riddler.
Take it the opposite
riddle.
Way. That's a riddler. He got a riddle for
here's
you.
Here's another riddle.
All right.
Jason Tatum will be the number one player in the NBA in 2020.
Jason,
You got some futuristic stuff. Now, who's Jason Tatum? Who's that?
He's a high school player.
And where's he from?
He is from the McDonald All-American, and he has everything. And I want everyone to look him up, because in 2020, he will be the MVP of the NBA.
All right.
I got you. 20. Well, I'm going to get back to the zone. I'm going to get back to the zone of orange. The opponents are 50, 51, 60, 62 points. Here's what's happening with North Carolina, their opponent. They have scored 83, 85, 101, and 88 points. Their winning average, fellas, is 16 points.
Whoa.
So I want you guys to think about this zone and what could happen. Of course, I keep saying it again, North Carolina beat them twice already. I believe North Carolina is going to beat them. They have the depth. They also have the big men inside, and they're starting to shoot the ball very well. I'm going to say Bryce Johnson out in 20, but he's shooting 60% in four games. That's 62%. North Carolina is shooting 51% in the tournament. So if they could not take jack up threes and get that ball inside, I see North Carolina beating Syracuse.
It's very difficult to beat a team three times.
But they know how to beat them. You know, the thing that I look at, Bobby, is that North Carolina bigs are very versatile bigs. They're not the normal bigs by playing with the backs to the basket. They can play with the backs to the baskets, and they boys can shoot foul shots, and
they got the 15-foot range.
They got that 15-foot jumper range. That hurts a zone because those big boys, once they get those big boys splitting the zone in the middle and just being able to turn around and hit that 15-foot jumper and then having the all four crash the boards along with a three, then you got something going. That's pretty much what North Carolina breaks it down. So therefore, if you start loading in on those bigs, then that boy, the outside guards who are large guards, they're large guards. Those boys
that's
can
right.
shoot. So that's going to be hard. Right, that's why I'm saying Carolina may be going all the way because
Let me give you two very educated answers so that everyone understands. Number one, Syracuse has nothing to lose.
Very much so. Same thing for Illinois.
Number two, Final Four madness. It takes all statistics away. It removes everything.
True.
Final Four madness. Yeah, it removes everything. The 80% foul shooter, the fast break, the rebounder, at that center of attention. The world's there.
I think the rise of Cajun, you're going to see some of the great players who were up for the nomination for Player of the Year. Valentine won it, but Buddy Hield and Bryce Johnson are two fellows that were up for the player. I have a feeling these guys are going to rise to the occasion, but I'm a Villanova alumni. I'm pulling Villanova to put some D on Buddy Hield and change that format of him getting 25 points a game. Yeah, I don't think he's going to have that many points because I think that D is going in his chest.
But Wally, so goes Hill, so goes Oklahoma. That's the driving force of Oklahoma. You know, so goes Stephen Curry, so goes Golden State. If you put any type of irritability or any type of pressure on the head of the snake or the point of reference to an offense, and these guys can't adjust properly, then you got something going there. And I think that's what it is. If he don't let the guy, if he keeps him in the low double figures, Oklahoma's going to have a hard night with him because they play such good defense. And they spread. One thing for sure, they spread. Yeah. So they take them bigs that Oklahoma's got inside, they neutralize them with the spread.
Yeah.
Wally, it's gonna be good. What is that Villanova does with that zone in the second half where they extend it out? What is that Villanova does with that zone? Because they did it the last game, and it was very surprising.
Oh, you're talking about changing defenses. They did, Bobby.
Yeah.
They not only changed that defense, but they also put a press. They changed defenses three times in the last game. They really stopped a great team, Kansas. I thought Kansas was heading to the final. But they changed defenses and put that pressure on those ball players, and they have some great guards too, just like Cousins and Woodard for Oklahoma. So if they can put that pressure on these guys, because they got some excellent ball players in Cousins, Woodard, and Hield. I think it's going to be a tremendous game, fellas. I'm really excited about it.
Well, you know, I think all of us can agree that, you know, again, this has been, to me, one of the most exciting NCAA seasons overall that I can remember. If not ever.
Yeah. Surprising.
I mean, the parity was so much there.
Yeah.
It was so much there. I mean, you had any of these four teams could not have been there.
Yeah, that's true.
I don't think that we should close this program without mentioning the tremendous job Wally Jones did out in Tilden High.
In New York, yeah, Brooklyn, I've heard from
wait a moment, wait a moment.
There. Yeah.
It's a team, Bobby.
I've heard from some people, Johnny Mathers from Kennedy High School, and one of the kids called his parents, and they called me. And, it was just a tremendous job. And, you know, we got to talking about Wally and the effect that he'll have in Senegal this summer with one of the largest camps, which will be held in Africa.
Looking forward for it, Bobby. I hope that comes to flourish. But I have to commend that you and Coach Hatcher and the Army, I think it was important for those young people to get, of course, the importance of education, but the values of life, human development, family. It was so much respect. It was so much regard in this assembly to have four different schools at the assembly. It's one of the first time they've ever had all these students together, although they represent their school as one in sports. But there's still different four different charter schools. So I seemed to find out when we got to talk with them individually how wonderful these young people are. I mean, yeah. It was so fantastic. We know about human behavior, how they sit, their demeanor. But then when you get to sit and actually interact and talk with them, and then to get the chance, the Army, to interact with them, I thought it was one of the greatest presentations that Sports Inside and Out, Shoot for the Stars, has had in the past 4 years. I think it's one of the best we've had because the interaction. I liked it.
Yeah, the interaction was very good. Interaction was very good. First time
staff
we've had
too,
that much of a diversified. Yeah.
Staff too. But thank you, Robert. But remember, teamwork makes a dream work. Thank you, guys. And Robert, you did a great job yourself, as usual.
Oh, yeah. Held the fort down. We were late getting there.
Yeah, held the fort down.
And the guy said it. Where's everybody? The guy said, Bobby Hunter's already there starting. So it took the pressure off everything because you know that they would be hyped up by the time the project got kicked off. So they were ready. Bobby had them ready. He was there. Get up.
They were cooked. They were cooked.
We only got 2 minutes left. This time they shot by so quickly. Great shows coming up. Please listen to our shows coming up this Tuesday on delayed broadcast with Sports Inside and Out. We're going to have, as you heard, Bobby on the Harlem Globetrotter Legends component, one of the greats of the Texas Western, now Texas Paso Legends, the 50th anniversary of that great team, that great game, I should say. Not the team itself, but the game, the changing of NCAA and basketball in America right there at that 50th anniversary. And, of course, we're going to have Bobby and our listeners. Wally not only is going to be giving the NCAA and NBA updates, of course, with the results of the NCAA, we're going to be having a guy named Jerry Bias, a nephew of Wally, is going
to be
joining us, talking about a special Charleston, South Carolina fundraiser for a medical drive for the kids in the South Carolina and the Charleston area. And we're going to be doing that April the 16th. We're going to shoot in there and do a great project there for them there. We look forward to that. Bone Crusher Smith is going to come. The former heavyweight champ is coming down to do a thing with the golf celebrity piece, of course, and our thing. He's going to be signing autographs, taking pictures for their fundraiser, former heavyweight champ, of course. And we want to welcome all you down to be able to be a part of that celebratory down there. But right now, let's get ready. Don't forget, Tuesday, guys are kicking off.
Hillary Clinton.
All right.
Hillary Clinton. All right. Okay, guys,
right,
we'll see y'all later. Okay, thanks for letting us be a part of your day here on Sports Inside and Out.
Hillary Clinton.
President Hillary Clinton. That's right. The New York. All right, guys. Hey, listen, check what you catch later. Okay.
All right.
Take care. Have a good day. Good show.
Great show, guys. Mm-hmm.